Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you and good morning. One of the most popular words in political and feminist rhetoric is the word pro-choice. The word is used of the alleged right of American women to choose to kill their babies. Never mind that they are also making a choice about another human being, the unborn baby. Inspired by the immorality and insensitivity of the women's liberation movement, millions and millions of American women are choosing the death of innocent children. Unfortunately, these women and the whole of American society will have to live with the choices that these women are making. Will you please think with me today on the topic, living with our choices? Most Americans who think seriously about life and its true meaning want to have the freedom to choose their own beliefs, their own behavior, within certain parameters, and their own destiny. We, and that includes me, do not like to have others to impose their ideas and ideals on us. We want to listen, or at least should want to listen, to what others have to say, but ultimately we want to make our own choices. And, generally speaking, our American Constitution guarantees the freedom to choose. Unless, of course, our choices interfere with the freedom of other people to choose their way of life. But freedom to choose is not and cannot be absolute. There have to be and there are constitutional and moral restrictions on our behavior, but not on our beliefs. You can believe it is right and good, at least for you, to steal your neighbor's property, rape his wife and daughters, and kill him. But you are forbidden by the laws of man and of God from putting your beliefs into practice. A woman in our society has a legal and moral right to choose pregnancy if she is married, but she does not have a right to choose to use drugs during her pregnancy. The law forbids her to use cocaine, crack, and heroin at any time, and it can prosecute her for murder if her baby dies as a result of her using illegal drugs during her pregnancy. There are cases on record of a mother's being prosecuted for using illegal drugs, including alcohol, while she was carrying a baby. Christians are pro-choice on many aspects of human life, but we also realize that we have to live with the consequences of our choices. We are pro-choice regarding the political party you choose. We would not, or at least I would not, try to force you to vote as I vote. I might try to persuade you that your choice could be dangerous to our political system, to our homes and to the church. But I would not seek to use force to have you to vote as I vote. Whichever political party you choose, or whatever political candidate you support, will have repercussions in your life and in the lives of all Americans. In political matters, as in every other phase of life, we have to live with our choices. Does it then matter what you choose in life, in religion, in moral values, in politics, in education, and in other areas of life? Those who read the Scriptures carefully know that men have the freedom of choice. God made human beings capable of choosing and free to choose. Eve was not a machine, a mere automaton. When the serpent told her that eating the forbidden fruit would make her wise, she did not have to listen. She could have told him to leave her alone, that she was going to follow the will of God. Satan tempts all people, but he does not have the power to force anyone to obey him. James tells us how temptation leads to sin. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. James 1:14. Temptations are always with us, but we can choose not to yield to them. Adam behaved stupidly when he ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What made him think he had the right just because Eve had eaten it? Adam was a free moral agent, just like Eve and just like us. He knew the penalty for eating, but he ate anyway. Eating was his choice. He had to live with that choice. One of the most beautiful and forceful expressions of men's and women's right to choose is found in the Old Testament book of Joshua. The Israelites had escaped from Egyptian bondage, had crossed the Jordan into Canaan, but seemed not to be completely happy with God's arrangements for their lives. They lived among heathen people who worshipped idols. The Jews were tempted on many occasions to follow the nations around them. Joshua said to the people, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua 24, 14 and 15. There can be no doubt that Joshua was expressing belief in what we commonly call the free moral agency of man. That is, Joshua knew that men are free to choose to do evil, or they can choose to do right. But underlying these powerful words from Joshua was the implication that men have to live with and to die with their choices. Joshua knew, and we know, that God will hold all men accountable for their choices. Several hundred years after Joshua, the prophet Elijah called attention to a serious problem facing the Israelite people. The Jews were having difficulty making up their minds about serving the Lord God of Israel. Elijah asked the Jews, "How long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. 1 Kings 18:21. The Revised Standard Version translates Elijah's question as follows: "How long will you go limping with two different opinions?" Did the Jews have a choice as to whether or not they followed the Lord God of Israel? If they did not have a choice, then Elijah was talking through his hat. In other words, he was talking nonsense. Isaiah's language differs considerably from that of Joshua or of Elijah, but you cannot miss the fact that the Jews of Isaiah's day were free to choose to serve God or not to serve him. "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." Isaiah 1:16-20. Christ's great invitation presupposes man's ability to choose good over evil. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11:28-30. If men and women could not come to Christ of their own free will, why did our Lord speak in such a manner? The book of Revelation gives this invitation: "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Revelation 22:17. Did Jesus really mean, whosoever will? How can we take freely of the water of life unless we have the freedom to choose whether or not we partake? Even though men and women are free moral agents, they will be held accountable for their life's choices. Our choices will determine our health, both physical and spiritual, and our happiness. They will also influence our eternal destiny. Jesus said in the Great Commission, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned." Mark 16:16. My friend, you can choose Jesus Christ, obey the Lord in baptism, and to have eternal life. Or you can reject Him and His Word, spurn His great invitation, and be lost eternally. Your choices will determine your behavior. Your behavior will determine your eternal home, whether in heaven or in hell. Paul makes that truth plain in the following verse. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad." 2 Corinthians 5:10. If men are not free to choose good or bad, how could God hold them responsible for their choices? Many prominent theologians and academic scholars deny that man has the freedom of choice. Let me refer briefly to three different worldviews which deny man's free will, and they are behaviorism, naturalism, and Calvinism. Behaviorism attributes all human behavior to chemical and environmental influences. Men and women are what they are because they could not be otherwise. The behaviorists do not believe human beings have any choice. The best-known American behaviorist was the late Dr. B.F. Skinner of Harvard. Dr. Skinner believed all human behavior could be controlled by controlling the environment. Of course, he had no philosophical or theological reason for controlling human behavior. Behaviorism, by its very nature, cannot have purposes, goals, or designs. Dr. Skinner called himself a radical behaviorist and found no place for anything which is mental. A human being may think he is exercising his mind in making a choice, but he really is not. He was conditioned to make whatever response he makes. Sometimes scholars get so bogged down with their research and speculation that they cannot see beyond their noses. But you and I know from our experiences and from the teaching of Scripture that men are not machines. We weigh the facts and ideas which are presented to us and choose our actions on the basis of what we like or what is good for us or what is right. We do choose, and no amount of scholarly speculation or experimentation can deny that fact. If men are not free to choose, how did Dr. Skinner hope to convince his students at Harvard or anyone else that behaviorism is the right approach to psychology? If his students disagreed with him, how could he hold them responsible for their views? Whatever they wrote on examinations in their psychology classes had to be right, because they had been conditioned to give those answers and could not give any others. His students were chemically and environmentally determined. He could do nothing about it, and he was foolish for trying. But he was chemically and environmentally determined also, and could not do other than he did. How totally ridiculous behaviorism is. Naturalism is another philosophy which says that the universe is nothing more than matter and energy. There is no realm of mind, either human or divine. The freedom we imagine we enjoy is illusory. Every act of man is predetermined. That is, we do what we do because matter behaves according to certain laws of nature. The chemicals in our bodies always behave according to those laws. We may appear to make choices, but we do not and cannot. Atheists, agnostics, and secular humanists are naturalists. They do not believe in God, in human freedom, and in the life to come. This life is all there is, although obviously they cannot prove that. Calvinists, at least the more radical and consistent Calvinists, argue that God has predetermined every act of man. God even chose, before the foundation of the world, the number who are going to be lost and the number who are going to be saved. Those numbers cannot be altered. Calvinism includes a doctrine known as irresistible grace, which means that God saves us whether or not we want to be saved. If He has not chosen us, on the other hand, there is nothing we can do to be saved. We are saved by grace alone, with no response on man's part. That is truly strange teaching in view of Paul's letter to Titus. For the grace of God, which brings salvation, has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Titus 2:11 and 12. If we do not live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, will we be saved anyway? How can we harmonize John Calvin's doctrines of predestination, irresistible grace, and the final perseverance of the saints in view of one simple phrase which I have read already today? Whosoever will. If Jesus meant whosoever will, and you know He did, then the whole Calvinistic system collapses. My friends, I'm not being hypercritical of Calvinism, but any doctrine, secular or religious, which robs man of his freedom to choose is not of God. God created man capable of choosing, and therefore of sinning. How else can we explain the fall of Adam and Eve? They were free to choose. They made the wrong choice. There are many aspects of your life over which you had no choice. For example, you had no choice over whether or not you were born into a rich family or a poor one, a Christian family or a non-Christian one, a black family or a white one, an American family or a Chinese family. You actually had much greater chance of being born Chinese than any other group, since 1/4 of the entire human family is Chinese. You had no choice about the color of your hair, the size and shape of your nose, whether you are right-handed or left-handed, blue-eyed or brown-eyed. You did not choose your home state or nation. In fact, you did not even choose to be born, regardless of what New Age proponents like Shirley MacLaine say. You can change some of the accidents of your birth, to use a common expression. Other parts of your life you cannot change. If you were born into a poor family, you can plan well and work hard and raise your financial standing, at least in some cases. After all, Sam Walton was not born a billionaire. If you were born with red hair, you can always use some hair coloring, although you really have not changed the real color of your hair. Your choice of a mate is certainly one of life's most important. 43 years ago, I made a choice of a wife. I could not have chosen more wisely. She has been and continues to be a great source of inspiration and comfort to me. My friends, if you want your lives and your marriages to be successful in God's sight, you have to choose mates carefully and prayerfully. How sad when men and women choose duds for their marriage partners. I know what modern people do. We trade the old one for a new one. But we fail to take God's will into consideration in most cases. My friends, choose wisely. And then work hard at making your marriage the kind that the author of marriage will approve. God allows you to choose whether or not you marry, whom you will marry, and to some extent the kind of marriages you will have. But He wants us to follow His pattern for our lives, including His pattern for our marriages. Young people, there are few choices in this life fraught with greater dangers for unhappiness than your choice of a mate. Do you want to have a happy and useful home in this world? Do you want to die and go to heaven? Then please be careful about your choice of a mate. You could choose a Jezebel, you know. Since I have worked for many years with college-age young people, I am interested in the academic disciplines they choose to pursue. Of course, many of us began our college careers with one major in mind, but soon changed our minds when we found out more about that major. That certainly is permissible, even desirable in many cases. But your major will unquestionably influence the job you have and your success at that job. Sometimes in the course of our lives, we have to change jobs, which may require our returning to college to learn more about our field or about a new field. Your choice of a college major may not influence your eternal destiny, but it certainly could. For example, if you choose the biological sciences or anthropology and allow your professors to sell you on the theory of organic evolution, your soul could be in jeopardy. I certainly do not believe there is only one major for each individual, and if he misses that major, he is destined to unhappiness, failure, and sorrow. But your college studies are important, and you should think seriously about them before you begin your college education. For good or bad, you will live with your college studies for the rest of your life. Your choice of a religious commitment will definitely have a bearing on your eternal happiness and your happiness here. As you know from observation and from reading, there are literally hundreds of Eastern religions, cultic groups, New Age organizations which seek to lure you into their fold. If you choose a false religion, you face an eternity without God. On the other hand, if you choose Jesus Christ, you have the promise of eternal life. Jesus said to Martha at the death of her beloved brother, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Jesus then asked Martha, "Do you believe this?" She replied, "Yes, Lord. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." John 11:25-27. In the same great book of John, our Lord said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." John 14:6. When I was a child, my home congregation used to sing, "There is just one way to the pearly gate." That certainly is the truth of the gospel. You cannot choose atheism, humanism, or the so-called great religions of the East and expect to be saved. It is only in Jesus Christ that we have the remission of sins and the hope of eternal life. There is one other choice we need to mention briefly before our time expires. The choice to kill or not to kill your own baby by abortion. I am fully aware that abortion on demand is legal in the United States of America, a nation which prides itself on being Christian. You can kill your baby, and know you will not go to jail for murder. Our Supreme Court decided in 1973 that killing babies between conception and normal birth is legal, perhaps even desirable, especially if the child will be born handicapped or unwanted. But is killing babies moral just because it is legal? The Nazis before and during World War II killed 6 million Jews just because they were Jews. The Germans also killed 275,000 of their own old people and millions of others. My friends, it was legal because Hitler was the law, and he approved of the killings. Is anyone so morally stupid as to approve of Hitler's actions? You know, and I know that you know, that what is conceived in a human mother's body is a human baby. You may not believe the baby is worth saving, but you know it is a baby. Even little children have that much sense. Can you live with the fact that you have killed your own flesh and blood? If you commit this heinous crime against God and against humanity, you will have to live with it. We just cannot kill our own children without having guilty consciences, or if we can, it shows the hard-heartedness which has become a part of our lives. My friends, whether or not you believe what I am about to say, it is unquestionably true. I'm not trying to add to the burdens you carry because you killed your baby by abortion, or because you participated some way in an abortion, either as a boyfriend, a husband, a father, a mother, a doctor, a nurse, a judge, a politician, or a liberal theologian. There is not the slightest question about your guilt. None. But here is the good news. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, all sinners. He wants you and me to turn from our wicked ways and become His followers. He wanted it so much that He gave His life a ransom for us. If you suffer from guilt because you had an abortion, or because you stole, or because you lied, Jesus Christ asks you to repent of your sins, confess your faith before men, and be baptized in His name in order to receive the remission of sins. He will forgive your sins, all of your sins for which you repent, and will rejoice that you have come to Him, that you might have life and to have it more abundantly. This, my friends, is the most beautiful story ever told. We thank you for listening today. May God continue to bless you.